Welcome. My name is Melissa Cummings. I'm an occupational therapy graduate student at University of New Mexico, and we are doing occupational therapy podcasts. And today we are going to talk about making time for play in children's lives. I have with me here Dr. Diane Perrin. She's been an occupational therapist for more than 40 years. She started her career working with adults and children in mental health. She has practice in areas of physical rehabilitation, home health with elders, and most of her clinical work has been in pediatric private practices. She works with children who have sensory integration difficulties that affect their learning and their behavior. Currently, she is a professor in the Occupational Therapy Graduate Program at University of New Mexico. Welcome, Diane.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Diane, why is play important in a child's life?
Well, play is something that children do, first of all, just because they want to do it. Nobody's making them do it. And even if somebody else wants them to do it, they're doing it really for the pleasure of doing it, for fun. This is an important element for health for everyone, by the way, not just children, that we have plenty of time to do things that we care about, that give our lives meaning. I want to clarify that when I'm talking about play, again, I'm talking about a child doing something because they really want to do it. They don't necessarily have to look like they're having fun, like they're smiling or laughing. They might be, but they might actually look very serious because they're totally absorbed in the activity. This is really an important aspect of life, having some kind of activity that you just love to do. And for all of us at any age, this is true. It involves many aspects of being a human. So for children, they tend to be oftentimes physically active. So there might be a strong physical activity element to it. There are going to be cognitive demands. There are going to be emotional components to engaging in play activities. There are going to be social components too, social elements if other people are around. And even spiritual elements too, because in spirituality we think of transcending the ordinary experience. And people who've studied play have talked about this, that when someone's having a deep play experience, they tend to lose track of time. It's as though they're sort of in a special space that they've created. It's not ordinary reality. So this actually is pretty deep stuff, and it probably has an influence on health. So it's multidimensional. It connects the child with others, but also the child will learn about their own capacities as they're playing. And they'll develop their own sense of a person who's competent. And these are very, very important things for children to acquire fairly early in life. It'll stay with them their whole lives.
So, Diane, why do children need play breaks such as recess in school?
Well, if you think about what children are doing as they're sitting in a classroom, there are a lot of demands going on. So, first of all, usually they're expected to sit still for a long time. They're given tasks to do that have a cognitive load involved. So they're working hard cognitively. They might be, in the early grades, also learning to do things like handwriting, reading off the board. This is a really different kind of way of using their bodies and minds than what they've done earlier to learn these new skills. And, of course, as they get older and they go through higher grades, the demands cognitively just increase. This is tiring, and children need breaks, and that's where play comes in. They need time to play at strategic times through the day. They need these play breaks so that they can move, they can be active, they've been sitting a lot, so they can do other things beyond schoolwork, use their minds in a different way. This kind of break integrated into the day is going to allow them to come back into the classroom refreshed and ready to do work again. And in fact, studies of different cultures that have different academic systems, different school systems, have found that high academic achievement is related to having a number of play breaks through the school day. So it's very, very helpful in terms of academic performance to be able to have those breaks. For a lot of children, it'll involve physical activity, but it also could at the same time involve cognitive activity, problem solving, a strategy for doing the game in a different way, a new sports move, for example, or a new game if there's a board game being played, a new strategy to use in that game. Those are all cognitive benefits. When children aren't being told exactly what to do every moment, they have to make their own decisions and organize their own behavior. This is an important life skill. So having these breaks for unstructured time in which there are opportunities to play in different ways is going to be very, very health promoting and also support the child's academic achievement.
It's my understanding that only 36% of children meet medical recommendations for daily physical activity.
Yes, especially in the United States, and I believe those data are for American children, the amount of time that children spend in sedentary activities, for example, playing computer games, looking at the phone or iPad, has been increasing. So I would imagine that we've got a dwindling number of children who actually have an adequate amount of physical activity in their everyday routines. This is another reason why recess can be important. It does contribute to that. But interestingly, the studies that have looked at benefits of recess have found that although the physical benefits are there, even more striking are the cognitive benefits, which is a little bit surprising. I think most of us are thinking about the physical activity element and not realizing that it really does benefit the child's ability to plan and to problem solve. And these are cognitive benefits.
I also have another statistic here. It says recommendations from the National Association of Sport and Physical Education state that children need unstructured play to increase physical activity. And this activity should not replace physical education and should not be withheld as a punishment.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the unfortunate things that's happened across the United States over the past couple of decades is that there's been a trend towards using withdrawal of recess as a punishment for undesirable behavior in the classroom. One of the things that concerns me is that I know that some children have a strong need for physical activity. They need to move, and they're sort of driven to do that, and they're going to be able to behave better if they have movement breaks throughout the day, which could be in the form of recess or it could be integrated into a classroom routine. What often is seen is that the behavior problem doesn't go away when recess is withdrawn as a punishment for the child. It can actually make the behavioral problems worse because the child's not having an opportunity to get those movement experiences that he or she needs in order to maintain attention, in order to regulate his own behavior or her own behavior.
Diane, what sort of tips can families use to promote play?
Think about ways that you can integrate play into daily routines at home or in the community. So first of all, you're going to need to recognize what is play for your child. So it might not be playing with a conventional toy. It might be just something the child's very interested in doing. I'd say pay attention especially to what is it they want to do? And is there a way that you can allow them some time and some space to just do those things? Can you even expand on what they're doing? Now, I want to emphasize that this does not necessarily require purchasing commercial toys. A lot can be done with ordinary objects. And in fact, there's a whole movement in the field of playground design towards something called loose materials or loose parts. And what this involves is bringing in ordinary materials. Often they're recycled materials, available free. And they can be things like large cardboard boxes, maybe reinforced with tape, that they can interact with, invent with, maybe tarps. They can build a tent or a pretend house. These are really very, very popular things for children to work with during their recess time or their free play time. I'm saying work because they get very, very absorbed in doing the activity. To an adult, we'd think that it's play for them, and it is genuinely play because they're totally focused. They want to do it. They're enjoying it. A lot of skills are developed as they do this. I saw one study that actually looked at children using loose objects on a playground to build. And these researchers, they were finding that children were actually developing skills that are needed by professional engineers, that they start developing those as they manipulate and build and construct with materials. So you don't have to have expensive, fancy stuff to let children have these kinds of experiences. And, of course, a lot of children will also build all kinds of pretend play, dramatic sequences that they'll play out with their friends when they're interacting with these objects. So try to get beyond screen time. I mean, that's okay, but also children need to have other kinds of play, playing with objects, playing with friends, and physical activity of play as well.
Large and small objects?
Absolutely. You always want to be sure that that the child's safe. Of course, safety is a concern. But I would say we tend to, in our culture, emphasize small objects a lot. They also need to interact with large objects or getting in and out of large spaces. You know, for young children, a favorite toy is a big cardboard box, like the kinds of boxes that appliances come in. This is great. The box is fantastic to play with. So, you know, it can be really simple stuff, and you can get a lot of mileage from that. Something else I'd recommend for families is give the child their own time and space to play, but also it's wonderful if all the family members can engage in play, have their own play breaks, but also have time to play together. And it can just be acting silly, playing music, just relaxing, just kidding around. It's a contributor to health to have those important moments.
Well, sounds like fun. Music is always mine.
Something else that works for some families is incorporating playfulness into household chores. Make games, sing songs, joke around or pretend while you're loading the washing machine or unloading the washing machine. So this works not for all families, but for many families. It's a really great way to start folding play into just those little ordinary moments. It doesn't have to take a lot of time.
Diane, this has been really good information.
Thank you.
That I have learned. If you would like more information, you can check out New Mexico Occupational Therapy Association and the American Occupational Therapy Association at their websites, also listed on the KUNM webpage. Thank you so much, Diane.
You're very welcome.